Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. And we have so many different breaking news stories to get through. Apparently, Biden's dog is back at it. You know, I wonder if I'm just, again, spitballing here, speculating. Remember the cocaine bear? I wonder if maybe the dogs have been dipping into the white powder there. Is that possible? Maybe we're dealing with cocaine dogs here, which is why Biden's dogs are on the warpath. We're going to get to that story. Ron DeSantis in a car accident. Over in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we should probably hear from our buddy Mike from Nuga, NugaRadio.com, but apparently DeSantis backed up traffic. It was horrible morning commute, so DeSantis probably lost a few votes there in the car crash. Yeah, we're going to talk about Obama and what's going on there. A horrible story. A story, by the way, that makes absolutely no sense, and we're going to get into that with our good friend Robin Poffman. But I want to start here with something that happened just moments ago. We learned that the teenage son of LeBron James was in the middle of basketball practice at USC over in California. And the 18-year-old kid, Bronny James is his name, just dropped to the court and dropped to the floor, unconscious. Turns out he went into cardiac arrest. And God bless the athletic staff. They've got some great trainers there. They were able to take care of Bronny. They got him to the hospital. He was in ICU for a good chunk of time. Now we understand he's in stable condition and they're running all sorts of tests. But here is a perfectly healthy specimen of a human being. This kid, at the top of his game, he was in a great athletic shape. He's a college athlete. And how many more times do we have to hear these stories about perfectly healthy college kids that are either dropping dead or going into cardiac arrest? How many more times are we going to hear reports of Hollywood actors that were perfectly healthy, they got the shot, and now all of a sudden they're in the hospital? And folks, it's just every single day we hear these kinds of stories. Just a few days ago, you had an ESPN anchor who was covering the World Cup and literally collapsed on air. Now, I don't know if Bronny James had the clot shot, but I suspect he did, because every college athlete had to get that shot, every single one of them. Every single Hollywood actor, every single broadcaster had to get the clot shot, or else they would not be able to be on air, they would not be able to be on the athletic teams. And that's why we've seen so many of these young people that have been just keeling over. And the CDC is turning a blind eye to all of this. They say, well, you know, this is just part of the evolutionary process. That's what the CDC says. You know, we go through these things. It's like winter and spring and summer and fall. Well, the Grim Reaper is showing up 24/7 these days. And this, it's, when are we going to have this conversation? Is anybody else sort of bothered here by the fact that the CDC injected death into the armpits of our children? Is anybody alarmed by this? Anybody bothered by this? Anybody put out by this? And I'm wondering if the Chinese have in fact neutralized a generation of young Americans, and if this was done intentionally. What if we now have a generation of young Americans who, quite frankly, are feeble? They're not able to lift the weights anymore. And how many, but you've seen the videos in the gyms. These big guys, brawny guys going over there, they're doing the bench pressing, and all of a sudden, boom, they're out. They're gone. Yours truly, Not exactly an athletic specimen, but I would win a barbecue eating championship. I can guarantee you that, America. I know how to throw down some ribs. But yours truly, under the advice of and guidance of my doctor, they said, Todd, it's time for you to get the clot shot. I got one shot, and 2 days later, I'm in the intensive care unit with myocarditis. And everybody got up, so why aren't you getting the second shot? Yeah, come on. Don't be stupid. So I'm just curious. Anybody else just bothered by this? Anybody want to ask questions? By the way, the Ron DeSantis crowd, their social media influencers are blaming what happened to Bronny James on Donald Trump. I kid you not. They say that because Trump told people to get the vaccine, that makes Trump culpable for what happened to Bronny James. Now, I'm one of these guys who says, poppycock. Look, ultimately, we all have a decision to make. And in the early days of this China virus pandemic, when nobody knew what was going down, I don't blame Trump one bit. But when you're a year into what should have been a 2 week, you know, to flatten the curve scenario, when you're that far into it, at that point, you've got to step back and say, wait a second, something's not right here. So anyway, you've got the DeSantis team. They're out there blaming Trump for all of these people, all of these young people dropping dead. But I'll tell you, it concerns me, and I've been fortunate, haven't had any other residual effects from that, but I was really concerned that I was about to leave this radio front porch and go to that great big front porch in the sky. No, Dylan, not Cracker Barrel. I'm talking about heaven. Heaven is where. Come on, yeah, come on, Dylan. But I'm serious, folks. It's something's just not right about all of this. And I do wonder if this was somewhat intentional to focus on the young, healthy, vivacious, strong American young people population and destroy them with this clot shot. Remember, they even had the Sesame Street characters coming out, and they were dancing and singing and frolicking and tickling each other and saying, we got to get the clot shot. So here we are. Speaking of that, I want to share this item with you from, of all places, North Dakota State University. Now, they have done a survey, and this is a pretty extensive survey. They interviewed more than 700,000 college and university students across America, and they asked a couple of questions. They wanted to know about free speech. They wanted to know about capitalism. How do America's young people, how do the young urchins, the unwashed masses of youngsters in America, how do they feel about capitalism? And this is going to shock a lot of you, but it does not shock me. If you've read any of my books, you will not be shocked by what I'm about to share with you. According to the survey, only 23% of students said they had a positive view of capitalism. When asked to define capitalism, over half say they associate it with the free market. Now, here's what's concerning. Not even a majority of conservative college kids view capitalism in a favorable light. That's disturbing. Now, where do you think they're getting that? Where do you think they're getting this idea that capitalism is bad? Do you think that conversation is being had around the supper table? Or do you think it's being had inside your public school, your taxpayer-funded classroom? Now, another disturbing part of this is that a majority of students, 74%, are in favor of reporting professors to the university for saying something that a student might find offensive. By the way, that number is 81% for liberals, 53% for conservative kids. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world are they talking about here? Well, this survey, which was very detailed, and by the way, thank you, North Dakota State University, for doing this, because this is important information for you and for me. So according to the survey, many students believe that professors should be reported for an opinion they find offensive. So in other words, free speech is kaput. It's on life support in America right now. So here are some of the examples, and they actually use these examples. So the surveyors would say, all right, well, let's talk about that for a moment, this idea of being offended. So if a professor says it's clear that affirmative action is doing more harm than good and should be eliminated, should that professor be reported? They said, absolutely. They said, if you look at the data and there is no evidence of anti-black bias in police shootings, should that professor be absolutely report that professor? If your professor says owning a gun is the right of every U.S. citizen, should that professor be, they said, absolutely, report that professor. How dare that professor say that? How dare he have that opinion? How dare my professor be pro-Second Amendment? Harumph, harumph, harumph. How dare he? What if your professor says biological sex is a scientific fact? What? How dare he? Off to the guillotine. So, that's the survey in America. Again, if you've read any of my books over the past 5 or 6 years, you knew this was coming. I wrote a book many years ago called Godless America, and it's still selling very well. And it was really the starting point for these stories about the culture war. And within that book was a survey from Pew Research Center, and it was like 56% or something, I forget the percentage. It wasn't that high. But a good number of university students, actually it was 40, so I'm sorry, it was 40%. 40% of college students believe there should be some limitations placed on free speech. And that number concerned me. I was alarmed. And here's the reason why. Because there was nothing happening at the public school or university school level that would reverse that trend. Because ultimately, the kids are not getting these ideas from home. They're getting them from the taxpayer-funded schools. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to really think long and hard about the future of our country, where a majority of students, including conservatives, now believe that speech they find offensive should be silenced. That we need to get rid of capitalism. Well, if you get rid of capitalism, you don't really have many choices. And the choices you do have are not very good. So we can either start shaping the values of our children at home, or we can allow the government-run schools to do it for us. We have a very simple choice. It is a clear and present danger we are facing, and you, Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, Auntie and Uncle, we all have a decision to make. Do we invest our time and our efforts and our energy into raising up that next generation of patriots? Like Ronald Reagan said, American exceptionalism begins around the dinner table, not Washington, D.C. Ronald Reagan said that freedom is not passed along in our bloodstream. Every single generation has to fight for it. And we've got a generation that's not fighting for it. They're fighting against it. And remember what Khrushchev said, that we would be defeated from within. And that's what's happening. Russia, China, they're not going to have to lob any nuclear weapons over here. They're not going to have to take out our power grid. They're going to be able to conquer us from within. We're doing it to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening here. So it's a very disturbing survey. And I know we've got a lot of breaking political news, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But we need to have a conversation here about what's happening in our schools. And what are we going to do about this? That's a frightening number. Conservative kids and liberals. Now I will say this. Turning Point USA, they throw one heck of a big party. But what are they actually doing? What are they doing on the university campuses? What are they doing in our high schools, at our middle schools? We have got to start educating and stop entertaining. Look, there's nothing wrong with entertaining a kid, but we've got to start educating. And right now, I'm afraid that a lot of these big groups are out there and they are more interested in lining their pockets with the almighty dollar than they are actually raising up that next generation of patriots. And this is evidence of that. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. Oh, Lord. By the way, I know Grace Baker, everybody's wearing, y'all are wearing face masks today, not because of the China virus, but it's day six and we still can't shower.
Help.
It's terrible.
SOS.
Oh, my word.
In the Calvary.
It's just awful. So to bring you up to speed, I live in Germantown, which is a fairly affluent and mostly white city. And so, and I say that because people are not helping. We're not getting any help from the government here. Our water supply is contaminated. And, I mean, it should be on national news.
Nope.
And it's not.
It's just local. Very, very local. The only reason it's national is because you're talking about it, Todd.
And here's the problem. So they told us, this is brilliant. So they told us, well, we think it was about 100 gallons of diesel that
Double
spilled.
That.
And somebody said, well, How can you be certain? They go, well, we can't. He goes, it may be more than that. It may be less than that. That's what the mayor said. But we're hearing it could be as much as 700 gallons.
I was going to say, I would take that number and just multiply it like 10x.
So brutal. It's so horrible. And the problem is you can't like do anything. I mean, you can't boil it out.
Your hands are tied.
It is. I have actually been taking a shower, but my concern is, it's going to be super hot here. I don't want to spontaneously combust.
This is true. Please
and,
be careful.
Yeah, the diesel, it's giving me a little sheen, I think.
We'll keep
so
you in the AC.
The hair looks a lot better.
It does have a shine.
Thank you. Yeah, it could be pert.
But a
though.
Funny smell, too.
Just don't light a match.
Oh, don't I was going to light a candle later. I guess I won't.
You might want to do that. So anyway, people can't, you know, they can't drink water. They can't bathe. They
can't wash dishes.
Can't do that. All the restaurants have been closed for 6 days.
Yes.
We just got another alert that they're going to be given more water away, which means we're going to be heading into day seven.
Oh, yay. Hooray.
But if we were Flint, Michigan, we'd be like breaking news.
Of course.
But
not for Germantown.
I can't tell you how many Porsches I saw in line waiting for the free water.
Oh, no.
All right. Can we go to Murph in Germantown? Murph, my fellow refugee, do you have water?
No, we've got it. I mean, it's running, but I'm taking showers anyway. The hell with it. He's my friend.
I heard
the previous discussion.
Hey, Murph, hold on. Murph, we have got a bad signal, and I want to talk to you, and we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. So let's get Murph figured out. Let's get him to a landline or something, and we'll get that worked out. All that to say, folks, I'm telling you, the infrastructure in this country is bonkers insane. And it's really tragic what's happening in Germantown because nobody cares. This ought to be a national news story. And I don't care where you are, but when you have 40,000 plus people and they don't have drinkable water, this is America. This is not a third world country. So let's get it together, people. Let's get it together. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to try to get to Murph, who is a retired history teacher, and he is an expert on this issue. Also, we're going to have the very latest on what happened at President Obama's $12 million beachside mansion. I have a lot of questions. We'll be right back, America. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506. Promo code Starnes. All right, America, let's get to it. Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Murph, hanging out with us on the Mighty 990 KWAM. Hey, Murph, what you got for us today?
Uncle Todd, I heard you mention Nikita Khrushchev. Boy, that's a name out of the past. He also said, "We will sell you the rope to hang yourself," which I always thought was rather interesting. And then there was an old Southern adage regarding Khrushchev. Years ago, when he came to visit the United States of America, Vice President Nixon took him on a tour of the farming area of the U.S., precisely somewhere in Iowa. And the old Southern adjective was that Khrushchev was standing in what he was trying to sell us. And then people used to fuss and moan about him that he was a socialist, which he was. And the old Southern adage was, "We're not knocking his kick, but I don't want to stand in line, period." So take that for what it's worth. I hadn't heard that name in ages, and you guys take care.
Murph, I appreciate it. Before you go, though, Murph, I want to ask you, I mean, you worked in the school system for a very long time. Is it salvageable? What do we need to do to take back our school system so that we can start raising up patriots instead of communists?
I'll give it to you in one word. And I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-E-N-T-S. Parents. Education starts at home, just like President Nixon said. I can remember when I was a kid, and you're not supposed to use personal examples, but this is the God's honest truth. My dad got home. His first thing out of his mouth at the dinner table was, "What did you learn today in school?" And then we went from there, Time Magazine, to the newspaper. And this was in the 60s when I was growing from grade 6 through 12. And then I can't speak, you know, you can't speak for the rest of the country, but in Memphis, when you have 70% of the families raising kiddos without parents, and I was at a lecture the other day, years ago, you had grandmothers that took care of those kiddos. Those grandmothers are dying. And there's no generation behind them because those grandmothers came from a nuclear family, husband, wife, kids. And a good friend of mine, the principal at a local high school, said their biggest problem is 34-year-olds trying to raise 17 and 18-year-olds.
Wow. Wow. Well,
because they had all these women had all these kids out of wedlock, and, you know, the man that sired these children, no telling where he is. And that's why we're on that subject with all this abortion BS that's going on. Why does Planned Parenthood not tell these young ladies what gets them in trouble? How do you get into a situation like that? Do you believe this yin-yang giving you all this spout about, "I love you, blah, 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 blah." And the next thing you know, the young lady's in trouble. And he's out the door.
So. Murph, it's a great point. It's a great point. Good to hear from you, sir, and hope you're able to get some drinkable water very soon.
Working on it. Take care.
All right. Take care. Murph from Germantown. By the way, we had the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. You know, Memphis has water. Germantown does not. And I was, we had the mayor, Jim Strickland, who's a Democrat, but he kind of likes us. I don't think he wants to get people to know that publicly, but I think he likes us. So anyway, he was on the program and he said, yeah, his in-laws live in Germantown and they've been coming to his house to take showers. And so, Grace, I don't know if you heard, but I said, well, Mr. Mayor, I said, if I bring my own towel, can I borrow your shower too?
Yeah.
He got a good laugh and he said no.
He's like, no. Yeah, nice try, Todd.
Good try. So, all right. Wow. Can we talk? Yeah, all right. Let's go to Charles, and then I've got to get to this Obama story because there's something going on here. I have a lot of questions about this. All right, Charles in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I have a question. With the mountain of evidence against Joe Biden, with the volume of emails, text messages between Tony Bobulinski, the laptop, the FD 1023 forms, and a confession by Joe Biden himself about quid pro quo, why do you think it has taken the Republican Party so long to bring impeachment charges against Joe Biden? Why do you think they're slow walking this?
I think they're slow walking it for a couple of reasons. One of them has to do with Mitch McConnell, who is a friend of Biden's, and he has been loath to do anything. I mean, have you really heard McConnell saying anything about Biden? It's he's putting the kibosh on that. You know, I think another part of it is maybe they were hoping that Biden just might slip away into the good night and either resign, or they just didn't want to have to go down this road. Third, McCarthy does not want to impeach Biden at all, but now he knows he's going to have to, or his goose is cooked.
Yeah, and they have to do the right thing, because if you think about it, Todd, Donald Trump was impeached for asking about a crime that Joe Biden committed. And the Biden family is crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. And the Republican Party, regardless if they get a conviction in the Senate, they need to expose all this in an impeachment trial. And not only that, not only the corruption by the Bidens, but how about the FBI, Todd? They had possession of that laptop in 2019. And when that impeachment hearing against Donald Trump commenced, they had exculpatory evidence that they withheld, and they allowed an innocent man to be impeached and let the real criminal escape. And that's what's happened. And I just think the Republicans need to go on record in the House and bring impeachment charges against him. And when it gets to the Senate, Todd, any Democrat that votes to acquit Joe Biden with the mountain of evidence that's there and will be presented, good luck to them in getting reelected. And I'd be interested to see what some Republicans do, like Mitt Romney, how they would vote.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, Charles. And again, it's the evidence. We have evidence. They had no evidence against Donald Trump at all. None. And yet they were able to smear this good man. Here, we've got a mountain of evidence, and it is evidence that demands a verdict. And shame on Kevin McCarthy for not moving ahead. Just remember, it wasn't too long ago, Charles, that Kevin McCarthy said, yeah, I don't see anything worth impeaching anybody on here. Well, it was at that moment where he should not have been elected Speaker of the House. He disqualified himself in my mind at that moment.
I totally agree. And, you know, Todd, I don't know if you'll ever have Kevin McCarthy on your show, but if Kevin McCarthy or anybody in his staff is listening right now, let me just say, I get text messages from you guys all the time for money. You know, every time there's a new story that breaks, it's a request for money. And I just want to tell you right now that I'm not giving you one penny. That every time I get those text messages, I just put stop in there to end, so that I don't get any more of them. And I think Republicans like me are getting sick of this. It's time to put up or shut up. And so far, it's just been all talk and no action. And I think people are getting frustrated, and rightly so.
All right, Charles, appreciate that call, and a good hearing from you, sir. 844-747-8868 is our number. So late yesterday on the show, we got word of something happening at the Obama compound, at the $12 million mansion, the seaside mansion that he purchased in Martha's Vineyard. And now we know that it was the body of Obama's private chef, Tafari Campbell, age 45. They found his body about 100 feet from shore in the Edgartown Great Pond. Now, that area of the pond was about 8 feet deep. And they deployed sonar from a boat. The guy disappeared Monday. And they didn't find the body, the body was found Monday. He disappeared Sunday. Now, we understand the early reporting was that there was another paddleboarder. So these two guys were two individuals on paddleboards, one of them being the private chef. They're telling us that the Obamas were not there when it happened. They were not home at the time of the accident. Mr. Campbell had worked as a chef when the Obamas were in the White House, and he stayed on with them when they left the White House. Now, they said this guy was not a very good swimmer, and that could have been one of the reasons why he fell and dropped like a rock. So it turns out now, though, that this guy was not just an okay swimmer. He was an excellent swimmer. And there's plenty of video showing him in the swimming pool doing laps, and he was very capable, and he was in really good shape. So a lot of people are now wondering, well, wait a second, how is it that this guy could not have held on to the paddleboard? How is it that the other person there, who, by the way, we don't have an identification on that guy yet, who was that person that was on the other paddleboard? Why were they not able to jump in and help pull the guy up? I mean, we're talking about 8 feet of water. So it's a lot of water, but it's not, you know, you can still, you would think, at least try and help save this guy. So anyway, it's all under investigation. The Obamas say that Mr. Campbell was a truly wonderful man, a beloved part of the family. The chef was married and had kids. And there you go. So he is survived by his wife, Charisse, and they have twin boys. So, I'd like to know who the other paddleboarder was. What's going on there? And by the way, this is not the first time that a chef has died. It turns out that Hillary Clinton's former chef, Walter Scheib, also met an untimely death. He was the executive chef at the White House during the Clinton administrations, and he died while hiking in New Mexico. They found his body in a pool of water. So it's just sort of weird that you would have two White House chefs that met untimely deaths in pools of water. So very strange, very strange. So there you go. We don't know where the Obamas were. They did not say. And we don't know who called 911. We do know the 911 call was made from the mansion. By the way, we're talking about the compound, and you know there's got to be video surveillance. So what about the video cameras? Have we seen any of the video footage so we can get an understanding of what happened to this man, who was a very healthy individual, who was a very strong swimmer, who somehow fell off of a paddleboard and then drowned? How is that possible? So anyway, what about you? Do you have any questions about what happened? We're going to be talking to our good friend Robin Poffman a little bit later on, and we'll try to get some information on this mysterious death at the $12 million seaside mansion of former President Obama, the man who, by the way, says that blacks in America are oppressed. And I guess he wrote that from his $12 million seaside mansion in Martha's Vineyard. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, Temple University set to host their first ever FatCon. That's in Philadelphia. FatCon is a judgment-free, fat-focused event featuring fat-friendly fitness classes, vendors, and a Halloween costume party. Oh, it's the Goodyear blimp. Oh, it's Jabba the Hutt.
So, Todd, are skinny people allowed to show up?
No, I don't believe so. This is from the website. And by the way, they're going to be featuring a fat sex therapist.
I don't even want to know what that is.
Who uses the pronouns they and he.
They and he?
It's very confusing. The guy's name is Sonali Rashatwar. And he focuses on white supremacist ideals behind fat phobia. And he says he's based in Philadelphia. And according to this, he is a super fat, queer, bisexual, non-binary therapist. Wow, that's a lot to fit on the business card.
Do you think...
super fat.
Do you think Lizzo will show up?
Don't know. Oh, is that the large? Is that the large young lady who sings?
Yeah.
By the way, there was a trending video on social media, and I didn't share it. I didn't know the context, but there was a girl. She was probably north of 375. She is a big one, and she was taking a pole dancing class, and it was not good.
The chafing.
Well, it was. Well, I felt bad for the pole. You could tell that the pole was in distress, and the pole was about to collapse because
it was like bending a little.
Was bending a little bit, and you could hear the groaning of the metals as this person tried to take one twirl, and it was rough. Because the twirl didn't happen. Not happen. And so then, she fell off, and then the metal pole just sort of went back into shape. It was not a good look.
A sigh of relief.
Goodness. So anyway, they're having this big, he is definitely super fat.
Super fat, like it's a superpower?
No, just really large.
Oh.
Really large, according to the photograph here. Another speaker is Joy Cox, author of Fat Girls and Black Bodies. And they're also holding discussions on fashion, social media influencing, how to craft a dress out of your king-size bed sheets.
What?
And no, I just made that up.
About to say.
And how to navigate fat phobia.
I'm looking at this person's Instagram account. It is very interesting. It's a bunch of inspirational fat quotes.
So it's one thing, and again, I'll just ask this question here. I get it. Some people like to eat. I like to eat, but I go out and I do try to exercise. I'm taking the Calitrin. I'm trying to slim down a smidge. But my question is, for all these people that are just morbidly massive, that is not a healthy thing. And you may think it is, but it's not. I mean, you're going to get the diabetes.
It's not good for you.
It is not good for you.
There's a difference in being like, okay, it's America, do what you want, and it being like, oh, yes, this is the epitome of health.
But to say you must accept me for who I am if I'm 500 pounds, no.
Well, I can accept you as a person, but I don't have to say that you're healthy.
That's right.
That's the difference.
That's a very fair point.
I don't have to say, yeah, that's the way most people should try to live right there. No, not.
Some people are not in love with their body every day, but this is the body they exist in. Well, you can feel good about yourself and realize, hey, I got to take down a few pounds. I got to take it down a few notches on the belt.
I mean, that's a healthy thing to say and think.
But nowadays, I don't, what is that? So being skinny, is that like on the out now? So you're not allowed to be skinny?
I guess it's not cool to be skinny is what they're saying.
I see.
I don't know.
I see.
I mean, I'm just, again, reading the quotes on this Instagram. Your body deserves the sun's kiss. What does that even mean?
Lord, that's going to suck a lot of sun out of the, I'm telling you. Good Lord. By the way, they're going to have yoga classes and a sound bath and twerk less. Oh, I can't handle that. Sorry. Could you imagine the yoga going into a full moon? Woo! Sweet mercy, America. We'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. We've got a lot going on this hour, and folks, we're going to start with our good friend and great American patriot. His name is Dalton Glasscock. He is the secretary for the Young Republican National Federation, also is the chairman of the International Relations Committee there, and is CEO of Starnes Media Group. Dalton Glasscock on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hey, Dalton, how are you today?
Hello, Todd. Hello, Grace, and the rest of the team.
By the way, we just saw your, I know you're running for city council there in Wichita, and we just got our very own Dalton Glasscock for city council sign, and Grace is adamant that we put it in the front yard of the broadcast facility.
It'll confuse people in Memphis, but you're more than welcome to put it up there. I'll take supporters anywhere. And the staff looked great in their photos they sent me. I really appreciated that. It brought a smile on my face.
So. I love it. Dalton, there's a lot going on in national Republican politics, getting ready for that very first presidential primary debate scheduled for Milwaukee, which is where the RNC is going to be held. We understand Fox News is going to be broadcasting it. Now, what's interesting is just about everybody has committed to this except for Donald Trump. And there's in the political world, you've been doing politics a long time now, and I'm curious to get your take on this. There is a mindset that if you are, 30, 40, 50 points ahead of your competitors, there's really no reason for you to go to that debate because you're going to be the target.
Well, and, Donald Trump showing up to debate, he's not going to get any new voters from a debate, nor is he going to lose voters. His base is pretty status quo, and so there's really no incentive to him to engage in the process unless, the only way he will walk out of it is maybe if he makes some groundbreaking conclusion. But other than that, I don't think it's in his best interest to attend the debates either.
So you are President Trump's campaign manager. We're playing make-believe here. You're President Trump's campaign manager. What advice do you give him?
Go hold a rally somewhere. Go hold a rally in Milwaukee. Go hold it somewhere in one of the swing states. Don't engage in the debate.
So it's interesting. That's great advice, and I suspect he may be taking it. There are some rumblings that he may be doing a one-on-one with Tucker Carlson the same night as the debates.
That's going to get far more exposure than that debate stage, especially when you have, I don't even know how many candidates we have now. It's like a repeat of 2016. Let's say we have, 10 candidates. Each candidate's going to get so little time to be able to convince voters on why they're the best. Meanwhile, Trump can speak, for 2 hours with Tucker Carlson and have a much better conversation and be able to swing voters rather than a debate.
Well, and on that point, it's interesting because Kellyanne Conway was doing an interview, and she said, hey, I wouldn't count Trump out just yet. She thinks that he may very well just jump in at the last minute. But again, I'm with you. It seems to me the bigger bang for the buck would be to do some sort of a one-on-one with Tucker Carlson.
Well, and honestly, I think it's better for the GOP competition as a whole because it gives all the other candidates a way to differentiate themselves from Trump and also figure out which one will be consolidating with the anti-Trump vote in the Republican Party. So I actually think it benefits the other candidates as well because it will result in a more consolidated candidate coming out of the debate.
I'm curious about Kansas. You born and raised there. You know the state inside and out. And you guys are kind of quirky in your politics. Some years, election cycles, you go with the Republican, then you go with the Democrat. How are you gauging the mood, the atmosphere among the electorate there in Kansas for the upcoming election?
When I'm talking to people, Trump still has a loyal base set. There's a lot of people that are just ready for change. And I think when they look at the ages of Donald Trump and Joe Biden, they're looking at other options. I don't think they've committed to the other options, and Trump could easily sway them back. But when I talk to people, they're looking at DeSantis, and more I hear people are looking at Tim Scott as well.
That's interesting you mentioned Tim Scott. He is doing well in the polls. So is Vivek Ramaswamy, who in a couple of these polls, I saw one out of Iowa where he is giving Ron DeSantis a run for his money.
Well, when you have unlimited supply of funds like Vivek, you're probably going to be able to help in a lot of these smaller swing states and these early states where you can dump massive amount of resources in there and messaging. That a DeSantis campaign, you know, their funds are drying up. Tim Scott's done a good job at maintaining his funds, and I think he has more cash on hand than DeSantis currently. Vivek doesn't have to worry about that. He can out-fundraise any of them just by self-funding.
All right, Dalton Glasscock on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Dalton, the first hour of the program, we talked about this crazy survey that was conducted by North Dakota State University. They polled 700,000 college students across the nation. And the students, and this is just shocking for me, an overwhelming number of students view capitalism unfavorably. Only 23% of students say they had a positive view of capitalism, and barely half of conservative students said they support the free market. I mean, you teach as well in a college, and I'm curious, are you surprised by the findings here?
I'm not terribly surprised, but it is worrisome. You know, when we're talking about these issues, I think Republicans and conservatives need to talk about these in new ways. You know, I'm the generation of Uber and Airbnb, and only those arise from capitalist ideas because it believes that competition breeds success. And that's how we have to talk about these issues moving forward. We don't talk about capitalism in ways, textbook definition, but figure out real applicable ways where people can know that competition breeds success and that it breeds innovation. And that's the foundation of why America is the most economically secure nation in the world.
Do you think we need to do a better job on the academic level? I mean, I doubt that parents are having conversations about capitalism around the dinner table with their kids.
It can't start in college. It has to start in middle school and high school. And I see that for students entering, you know, the collegiate experience, that a lot of worldviews are already made up by the time you go to college. And so a lot of colleges either solidify in those worldviews unless you have faculty members that are willing to challenge your thought process. But really, these conversations have to happen earlier. And, you know, I used to be the teenager. I think you and I met when I was the teenage Republican chairman. And it really has to start in high school and having these conversations with students so that when they go to college, they can also equip other students and their peers with the benefits of capitalism and the benefits of democracy.
Well, one of two things may be true here, and correct me if I'm wrong. But we're either not teaching these kids about capitalism and the basics of American government, or we're teaching these kids to hate capitalism and embrace other ideas like socialism.
I mean, what I see more and more is that students are unaware of the basic functions of American government. I mean, they can't tell me the three different branches of government entering college as a freshman. And I think that's worrisome moving forward, is that we have to be able to equip students with that knowledge before they vote, because by the time they enter college, they're already voting. And when someone doesn't understand the basic functions of government and they're already voting, that is a significant problem for democracy as a whole.
All right. Well, Dalton, where can people go if they want to get more information? I know we have a lot of listeners in Wichita, KQAM. Where can they go to get more information about you and your campaign?
Yeah, reach out to daltonglasscock.com. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions from anyone in Wichita. And if there's any young person that's on here and wants to engage in the political process, message me, and I'll make sure to figure out ways to engage you in the political process as well.
All right, good stuff. All right, Dalton, good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Good luck. We'll talk soon.
All right, there you go, Dalton Glasscock. And, he's also a teacher, an instructor, I believe, at Wichita State University. And we need more people like him out there. That's what we need. All right, we've got to take a quick break here and regroup. Our telephone number, by the way, is 844-747-8868. Do you think President Trump ought to debate? Should he hold the forum instead with Tucker Carlson? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Happy to have you with us today. This is happening in San Francisco, where it's the crime is off the charts. The whole city is just in shambles. Thousands of people, really tens of thousands of people, are leaving. They're packing up the U-Haul, getting out of town. And the city is a third world hellhole. And so we told you a few days ago about this Walgreens in San Francisco, and they've had to lock up the freezers because the people are coming in and they're stealing stuff. And of course, now all the liberals are complaining. How dare you? You're just making us live in a police state. No, they're trying to keep the doors open so they don't have to shut down the store. So CNN got wind of this, and so CNN sent a lady reporter, over to the Walgreens, and they were going to do a story. And within the span of 30 minutes, the store got robbed three times. You can't make this stuff up. Cut number one.
Richie Greenberg walked into a San Francisco Walgreens when he saw in the frozen food section this.
Chains, heavy chains that went from padlock to padlock on both sides of the doors. And this was bizarre, something I'd never seen before. This is just more icing on the cake, telling us that rampant crime has become a regular part of life.
So typical that in the 30 minutes we were at this Walgreens, we watched three people, including this man, steal.
Did that guy pay? Did that guy pay? He didn't pay.
Walgreens says this Richmond neighborhood store with aisles of products like mustard locked behind plexiglass has the highest theft rate of all their nearly 9,000 U.S. stores, hit more than a dozen times a day. When thieves turned to cleaning out ice cream and frozen burritos, workers grew so frustrated they resorted to the chains. They were ordered down by corporate because of the negative messaging. But Walgreens isn't the only retailer impacted in San Francisco.
You have to ask an employee for help.
At this store, frozen food is controlled with a cable lock, fake eyelashes locked behind plexiglass, along with lotion and nail polish. At another grocery store, $14 bags of coffee under lock and key.
What is this?
I don't know. I don't understand why coffee.
Here she is.
But it's become kind of like a police state in San Francisco. I don't know how to describe it.
It's not part of city life. It's not part of the way people should be living, right? And that includes folks who are committing the crimes.
Marjan Philauer, mom of three, small business and community advocate, says these visible problems in her city are leading to renewed activism driven by residents, like the recall of the city's district attorney last year.
I think what we've seen, especially in the past couple of years, is less tolerance, more exasperation, and more movement to action by everyday San Franciscans to change how their city is run. It's not enough right now, but there is a change, and I think ultimately we will get there.
San Francisco City Supervisor Matt Dorsey, former police spokesman and recovering drug addict, sees the rampant shoplifting as a systemic problem, from city leaders to an understaffed police force to the fentanyl crisis.
When you're seeing that level of retail theft, that tends to be subsistence level retail theft. People are hungry. There is a level of addiction playing out in many parts of our city. It's happening at levels we really haven't seen in San Francisco. What I'm hearing from my residents and what I'm hearing from San Franciscans is it's time for tough love. We are not doing any addict in this city favors by enabling behavior that is potentially deadly in ways we have never seen.
All right, enough of that. So you get a pretty good idea of how things are happening in San Francisco. Look, they voted for this. This is what the people wanted. They wanted anarchy. They wanted a dystopian society. By the way, you listeners on KWAM, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, that's what you voted for. And for those of you who stayed home and did not vote, guess what? You voted for it. Just yesterday, we found out that a woman caught on video trying to shoot and kill a Memphis police colonel, and then she opened fire in front of a police precinct. It was all captured on video. We just learned yesterday the radical district attorney, a guy by the name of Steve Mulroy, who is a George Soros clone, this guy dropped all charges. Someone called into the radio station and said, we tried to even open up the records on this woman, and they've sealed the records. We can't find any information about this woman who tried to gun down a police officer. So let me ask you a question here. You've got a radical district attorney, and he doesn't even have the moral courage to prosecute a woman for trying to kill a police officer. You think you're going to get justice, you and your family, if you get whacked? I don't think so. Look at what's happening in New York City right now. I mean, the same thing. You city after city after city, this crime is off the charts. Off the charts. But you get what you vote for. And it's hard to feel sorry for people in my hometown of Memphis because we had the opportunity to stop all of this, and we just didn't do anything about it. And a lot of that, you know, again, you've got to make sure when you're running as a Republican that you're actually different than the Democrats. And in a lot of cases, here's how bad it is. I literally have to call and ask, so is this person a Republican or a Democrat? It's hard to tell. So if it's hard to tell for me, someone like me who's in the political world, you have to imagine for the average citizen, they don't have a clue. So you really have to provide candidates who are very different. And that's not happening. By the way, I got to tell you about President Biden's dog, Commander. So apparently, the dog is terrorizing the Secret Service. Fox News says that the dog, Commander, a German Shepherd, bit 7 people in a 4-month period. Now, let me just say this. After the first bite, the dog is out of there. At least that's what I would have said. One of the more serious incidents involving Commander led to the White House Physician's Office referring a Secret Service officer to the hospital. The Secret Service agent was bitten on the thigh and the arm. Judicial Watch got all of this information under a Freedom of Information Act request. Commander broke the skin of another Secret Service member's hand and arm, and that's after Biden removed his leash. In January, Commander bit and latched onto a security technician's back. That happened, good golly, that happened at the Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. Now, I'm just going to ask you dog owners out there, it's my understanding that dogs typically take on the characteristics of their owners. Is that true? So if you've got a mean, nasty dog that goes around biting people, that means you're a pretty mean, nasty person. At least that's the way I've understood this. I mean, dogs have their own personalities, I suppose. But this is beyond the pale. I'm just wondering, why are they allowing this dog inside the White House? Why are the Bidens taking the dog? Do they find pleasure? Do they take pleasure in watching their dog chewing on the arms of Secret Service agents? This is horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. Anyway, one of the agents had to use a steel cart to shield himself from the dog's attack. So I'm very curious to get your take on this. Maybe the dogs are doing cocaine. I don't know. Cocaine pooch. Cocaine canine. 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. right, an update on this story from Glenn Beck. So they've got an inside source over at Fox, and apparently they've been doing matching grants to the Satanic Temple. Oh, God. And Planned Parenthood. They've been donating to Planned Parenthood. So it turns out that one of the staffers tried to name the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, submit their name as a charity that Fox would donate to, and that got turned down because it was Billy Graham. So you can't make this up. So anyway, we've done the stories about it. We've been talking about it. So Fox now has apparently removed the Satanic Temple from their list of charities. However, you can still donate to Planned Parenthood. Folks, I'm telling you, this is not the same place that it was when I was there. And I suspect Robin Poffman, our next guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, would agree it is a whole different ballgame over at Fox these days.
My head is spinning.
Robin, here's what gets me. That means that they have employed Satan worshipers at Fox News, and I bet you and I can figure out who they are.
Oh, yeah, let's not name names.
No, we're not going to name names. But we know who you are.
We know who you are. Yeah, I don't want to be on the naughty list, if you know what I mean. I don't want the Secret Service, like, knocking on my door tonight in my undisclosed location in the bunker, you know, which is where I live, in a bunker these days. But, yeah, you got to lay low, I'll tell you. You cannot be a, I don't know. There's some very suspicious things going on.
Yes, and we'll just leave it at that. Robin, speaking of suspicious things, the story that came out of Martha's Vineyard yesterday, where you had the private chef of the Obamas who ended up drowning at the $12 million seaside mansion that Obama owns. What do you know? What can you tell us?
Okay, well, I have been thoroughly, as you know, on top of this story, Todd. This is like has my name written all over it. I've been covering crime for north of 30 years. I have a lot of questions. First of all, this chef, Tafari Campbell, he's 45 years old. He was actually hired at the White House under the Bush, the Sun administration. So he was one of a handful of chefs that they tied over for the Obamas. The Obamas become friends with the guy. They leave the White House and they hire him to work for them, as you would, I guess. So this guy is a married man with twin teenage sons, 45 years old, when suddenly he apparently decides to go out for a boat ride in some sort of paddle boat, which seems unusual to begin with. The former president is actually known to paddle boat, from what I understand. And then Sunday night, some undisclosed person calls 911 that the chef is missing. And I have so many questions. Well, who was paddle boating with the chef? Did he have a life jacket on? Why is a man who admits that he can't swim in a paddle boat? This guy, you know, there was a deep dive done of his social media, and there was a photograph, Todd, of him with his wife back in Aruba. I want to say it was 2017, so we're talking about 6 years ago, hashtag I can't swim. So if you can't swim, why are you out in a paddle boat without a life jacket on? I'd like to know who he was with, why he was out there, and who called 911. I have a lot of questions.
You see, that's and back to the swimming part, because there's other video that's now surfaced that showed the guy was actually a really good swimmer, and he was in the pool doing the laps. So that part of it just doesn't make any sense to me. But again, I'm with you one way or the other. How does a guy who's a very good swimmer slip off of a paddleboard and drown in 8 feet of water? And if he wasn't that well-versed in swimming, then why would he even be out there on a paddleboard to begin with?
Well, perhaps he took the last 6 years, instead of working on his culinary skills, maybe he had, you know, took some swimming lessons in his spare time, right? So let's give him that.
Yeah.
Because I'm very confused, you know, like, maybe you can't swim, so you learn how to swim. I don't know how to ski today. Maybe I'm going to go take skiing lessons tomorrow in my free time. Not. But, you know, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Still, are you going out there alone without a life jacket in 8 feet of water. And the other part of this that's really that no one is talking about. So the Obamas obviously have Secret Service detail. Once again, the Secret Service is involved in yet another cover-up because they were asked for comment. They're on the property out there at Martha's Vineyard. It's apparently guarded as well as the Pelosi home in San Francisco. They cameras all over, but yet, you know, Mr. Pelosi, they had a break-in, and, you know, he almost got killed by that guy with the hammer, right? So you would think on a $12 million property that if I had a $120,000 property, I'd have some Ring doorbells and some other cameras, you know, out on my pool and out on my lake. You're talking about a $12 million property. Who was out there? Where's the Secret Service? Why is this guy paddle boating alone? And if he wasn't alone, who is he with? I mean, why is the Secret Service once again covering up, Todd?
And who called? And to your point, who called 911? Because the call came from the property itself, inside the house.
It makes no sense to me. So then you have to apply common sense to all crime situations, right? Maybe it's not a crime. Maybe it's just a horrible accident. So you immediately have the former president of the United States going on his social media saying, you know, we're heartbroken. Our hearts go out to the wife and the children, you know, all the, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But yet, was the former president with him? Was this chef involved in something else besides being a chef? I mean, this is like Police Academy 101 stuff. There's a lot of questions here that really need to be answered. What about the other staff? Is everybody, like, you know, paddle boating and they're when they have free time, when they're not cooking for Michelle Obama? I mean, I don't know. It's very, very odd.
And not to mention the sheer coincidence, I suppose, that Hillary Clinton's executive chef was found dead as well back several years ago.
Oh, well, we'll just add that to the Clinton dead and missing list. I mean, that's, you know, that's a whole other show, Todd. You can do a whole week of shows just on those. Well, I think it's up to almost 80 people now, that list that circulates online. But in dealing with this matter, what I don't like about it is the lack of detail, because if you're telling the truth about a story, it's okay, you know, Chef Tafari was out there with ex-wife Mary and John, and he didn't have his life vest on, and he doesn't know how to swim based on his, you know, 2017 Aruba picture with his wife, hashtag still can't swim. Now you're saying you have these other videos showing up. So which is it, right? And why is the Secret Service, the Secret Service can't tell us about cocaine in a cubby at the White House, and the Secret Service can't tell us about the Obama chef sadly passing away in a canoe in a pond? Something is fishy, to say the least.
So this is from the BBC, and they say that another paddleboarder was on the pond with him at the time and observed him going under the water. So why didn't the paddleboarder stop? Why didn't the paddleboarder try to go help the guy, rescue? Again, we're talking about 8 feet of water, which is deep, but it should be enough where you can go and, you know, again, if you fall into the water, you're going to be able to be brought back up. I mean, conceivably.
Yeah, and this Tafari Campbell, if you look at his, you know, if you Google the name Tafari Campbell, White House chef, he's really physically fit, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he goes to the gym and takes an occasional run. He's clearly not eating all the food that he's preparing for the Obamas. I mean, this guy is very fit. The story, you know, if you're in the ocean is one thing, but this was more of a placid kind of a lake atmosphere, like more of a pond where you would, you know, tie up a boat up there in the vineyard. This is not, you know, the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. This is not that, you know, for your radio listeners to envision what it looks like. It's very odd to me. I hope and pray that it really was an accident and that there's, you know, nothing nefarious going on here. But when I hear the Secret Service is not commenting, that bothers me to the core.
And Robin, let's just put this in a little bit of perspective. If something like this would have happened at Mar-a-Lago, you think the mainstream media would be ignoring this story?
No, and they would have, you know, their infamous helicopter, you know, CNN would have the chopper flying over the scene, and MSNBC would have their local NBC affiliate in Boston, Massachusetts, flying over the scene. And you know, one other little piece of video that has surfaced, Todd, that just comes to mind is that one of the NBC Today Show, Savannah Guthrie, I believe it was, had been interviewing the former president, Obama, about, I don't know, I forget what the actual topic was. Maybe it was cooking in the kitchen. And this guy, Chef Tafari Campbell, is seen in the background of the video, you know, dicing up tomatoes or whatever he's doing. And so this is someone who was extremely well known to the Obama family, both to Barack and Michelle and the girls and her mother and anyone who worked in the White House in those years. And this person is well known to the Bushes, Bush the son. So I need to hear more, and I'm not ready to close the book on this story. The mainstream media is not even willing to open the book. There's like, oh, nothing to see here. Shiny keys. Look over here. Nothing to see. But I think there's a lot more to this than we know about. What kind of medications was this guy on? Is there drugs in his system? Alcohol? Was he wearing a life jacket? Who was actually there? Is there video of the pond? I could go on and on, Todd.
Yeah. All right, Robin, we're going to have to leave it there, though. Always great insight. And keep us updated on this story. Any new developments, just give us a call.
I will, Todd. God bless. Have a great day.
All right. The great Robin Poffman, our incredible journalist and investigative reporter, and looking into all of that. I guess one of the reasons the Secret Service may not be able to respond is many of them are in the hospital recovering from these dog attacks. This is terrible. I want to go to the phones real quick here before we have to take a break. Jenny in Georgia has a couple of questions to ask about all of this. Hi, Jenny. What's going on?
Nothing much. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm an animal behaviorist down here in Georgia. I own a company called I Speak Canine. Been doing it 32 years. I specialize in aggression, and I get a lot of shepherds and many of those breeds. But my question is this. Is this dog, this particular dog, I assume that it's his personal dog, right?
It's the personal family dog, yeah.
Okay, and is this dog trained to do protection?
No, it's just a regular old dog.
Okay, my next question is, did this just start? Did he just start biting people, or has this happened since he's been in office?
So, no, I think it's been going on for a while. The dog is nearly 2.5 years old, and it's already bitten it's bitten 7 people in a 4-month period.
In a 4-month period. So mm-hmm. The biting started 4 months ago.
I would say so.
Okay. So you said a little while ago that sometimes dogs take on the character of their owner. Actually, it's the opposite of that.
Really?
This dog is a shepherd, and he is bred to herd and to protect. Okay? So when a dog is a full-blooded dog and they're bred with a certain set of instincts, if they are not in a situation where they are clear who their pack leader is, then they will take it on themselves to take care of things, and they will use their set of particular instincts to do it. In this situation, I haven't been there, but I've been doing this 32 years. I've got a degree in certified flight animal behavior with a minor in experimental psychology. I don't get 2 or 3 dogs a month like a lot of dog trainers do. I get 4 or 5 a day. 7 days a week for 32
wow.
years. I'm just going to tell you right now, that dog does not know who his pack leader is. He does not feel like that there's someone there to tell him what to do. There's a lot of people coming in and out of that house, and he is taking it on himself to be the pack leader of that house. I guarantee you, President Biden, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, and I'm not saying anything, but just because it's him, I'm telling you just like I would any client. A dog does not go up and bite someone if he knows that his pack leader is in charge, okay? He just doesn't.
And so Biden should theoretically be that leader? Is that the pack leader?
Most definitely. If a dog is bitten to anyone, then I'm questioning whether or not the dog knows who the pack leader is. But if he's bitten someone seven times, every time he gets his mouth on someone, to him it's a reward. Think about it. If somebody gets bit, what do? They pull back and go away. Okay, it worked. Next time somebody comes in that bothers me and I don't feel comfortable, all I got to do is bite it, and they're going to back up and go away. Now he's done it seven times. It's starting to imprint now. What he needs to do is he needs to get himself a really good animal behaviorist to teach him what a pack leader is. It's little things like you don't go through a door before me. You don't eat at the same time as me. You know, you don't pull me on the leash. Those kind of things.
Oh, my.
Get those things under control, and then everything else is good. Just
all
like
right. Well, Jenny, look, we're running up against a break here. Do you have a website where people, if people want to get information on this? This is fascinating.
I sure do. It's called ispeakcanine.org. And I'm down here in Georgia. I get dogs from all over the United States.
Wow. So ispeakcanine.org. All right.
And that's K and a 9. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. Jenny, thank you for that. Wow. Well, this kind of makes sense. And that would explain why the original dog, Major, remember that dog? It was biting everybody, and they had to get rid of that dog. So I'm wondering if that what's going to happen to poor Commander. So there you go. Basically, in a nutshell, it's Joe Biden's fault. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Aquí estamos preguntando sobre supersticiones financieras.
Bueno, en mi familia decían, si te pica la mano, no te la rasques porque viene dinero.
Pero si quieres controlar tu presupuesto, hay una manera mucho más práctica.
¿En serio?
Con el plan Precio Personal de State Farm, puedes crear un precio accesible solo para ti.
Y sin aguantar picazón, me gusta.
Como un buen vecino, State Farm está ahí. Llama para obtener una cotización hoy. Los precios varían según el estado. La elegibilidad para la selección de cobertura podría variar.
All right. Man, I feel bad for the Secret Service guys. Now, that's got to be kind of tough. I mean, do they have rabies? Do they going to have to get rabies shots now? I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, I'd be worried about that if a member of the family bit me, too. I mean, that's, you know, these Bidens, you don't know where they've been, what they've been up to. Let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. Hi, Pastor. What's going on?
Hey there, Mr. Todd. You know what? Had this dog been owned by somebody else on the streets, like in your city of Memphis or out here in Bowling Green, the police officer would have put him down, shot him right away. But because it's the president's dog, the Secret Service can't do anything. Say if that dog would have attacked, say, Biden or Biden's grandchildren, they would have put the dog down then. But because it's Secret Service, there's nothing they can do. But out here on the street, you know, like in a regular city like yours or wherever, police would have put the dog down.
Now that's an interesting thought. Sorry, that's an interesting thought, John. I mean, we're talking about what, seven times the dog bit. See, and we're not talking. I mean, these are violent attacks. There were reports that they were having to use chairs to try and, you know, stop the dog from lunging. It's unbelievable.
And if the agent would have defended himself because they had those collapsible batons and hurt that dog, that agent would have probably been fired and possibly prosecuted. God bless you, Todd.
All right. Thanks, Pastor John. Appreciate that. No, that's, you've got a good point there. I mean, what do you do? Do you just let the dog just run wild and terrorize the Secret Service? Are the Bidens getting a chuckle out of this? They think this is funny? I mean, get the dog some help. Get it back to Delaware. Jeez, hello. At that point, go buy a cat. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. You know, going back to this White House story involving the dogs. And what is it? Now we're up to seven victims, seven Secret Service agents who have been bitten by the Biden family dog. Grace, if I get an invitation to attend a White House function, I'm busy that day. I just want to throw that out there. No disrespect, but I'm not walking in there.
Yeah, you might need some like pepper spray or something.
That dog will take one look at me and start licking its chops, saying, there's supper. Prime rib. That's what that dog's thinking.
That is just bizarre.
It's insane.
I've never heard of such a weird dog story.
That's the second time, by the way. Yes. I know you've got sweet, lovely Merlot.
Who wouldn't hurt a fly.
All right. And again, that's because you're a very nice, kind person.
Yes, and I trained her.
There you go. All right. So thank you for that. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the 3rd Congressional District in the beautiful state of Florida, Kat Kamick with us. Congresswoman, I'm just curious, have you ever run into Joe Biden's dogs at the White House?
No, dogs typically like me. And actually, in my office in Washington, we have 3 dogs. And I tend to think that that's a sign of character. But, I mean, if you're being raised by the Bidens, anything's liable to happen. So I don't blame the people in this case. Normally I would, but it just seems like, you know, there's something going on there.
Right. Seven attacks in 4 months. I'm thinking, have you seen the movie Cocaine Bear? I'm just thinking. Just thinking out loud here.
Oh, well, I thought it was interesting, Todd, that you referred to yourself as prime rib.
Hey,
normally people think of themselves as like a, you know, a filet, you know, or New York strip.
Well, you know, or a pork butt in my case. So being from Memphis, so it's I know who the dog's going to attack first. So I'm just trying to protect myself. Oh my goodness. Congresswoman, we've got so much going on in Washington, and of course the hearings are underway. It is just really a shock, you know, when you look at all of the allegations of crime and corruption, and now of course we're awaiting another possible indictment of President Trump. And you do wonder, and I think a lot of our listeners wonder, are we going to get to the bottom of what the Biden crime family has really been up to?
Oh man, you know, I think at the beginning of this year, people wondered, you know, would an indictment hurt President Trump? And I do believe at this point in time that everyday Americans are starting to wake up and see these indictments and the sham that they are. You know, they're saying this is ridiculous. We have evidence. We have emails. We have phone calls. We have photos. We have shell companies, documents proving the collusion and the corruption of the Biden administration and the Biden family. Who has 20 shell companies? I mean, it's absurd. We have it in black and white. We see the proof that is there. And let us not forget that Trump was impeached over a phone call. Now we have evidence in black and white that actually points to blatant corruption and influence peddling within the Biden family. And people want to turn their cheek and say, no, there's totally different. Tell me, how is it different? I think people are starting to wake up and say, this is that two-tier justice system I've been hearing all about. This isn't right. This isn't fair. And if they're going to do it to Trump, a former president, what could they do to me?
I think that's the greater concern here is, you know, when you look at Trump, there was no evidence at all. And, of course, we all know the Russia collusion stuff was a hoax. Meanwhile, you look at Joe Biden and that family. I mean, you guys have evidence coming out the wazoo. I've never seen anything quite like this. And even Speaker McCarthy, and if I'm reading him correctly, he certainly seems to be hinting that impeachment is in the works or could be in the very near future.
Absolutely. I mean, and that was talked about early on. But one of the things that Speaker McCarthy said was, we're not going to do what the Dems did. We're not going to have some sham impeachment that gets rammed through because of a political agenda. We're going to do this the right way, because impeachment is incredibly serious. It is reserved for the most severe cases, and we have risen to that level. And I think people have been a little frustrated that it hasn't happened sooner. But at the same time, we don't want to be like the left. We want to have all of the evidence. We want it to all come to light. And it takes time, especially when you have the White House putting pressure and directing agencies not to comply. You have a DOJ and an FBI that refuses to work with you. You have an IRS that has blocked investigators. That's why we have whistleblowers coming forward now saying, we tried to investigate and we were told not to. that it is frustrating, but it takes time to get all of the information necessary to make an ironclad case. And at the end of the day, I think Americans want to know that their commander in chief is not compromised. And all evidence points to the fact that this man in the White House, and Todd, you've heard me say it before, I can't even call him a commander in chief. I call him a trafficker in chief for his total negligence and facilitation of trafficking at the border, neither here nor there. But they want to look at their commander in chief and say, that is a man of integrity. And no one with a straight face who's being honest with themselves can do that today. That's why we have to get this right. This will end in impeachment, I do believe, because all the information that we are collecting is pointing to the fact that there is corruption, influence, peddling, and illegal activity at the highest levels. So it's going to be one for the books. And I also want to tell people, remember what comes after Biden. And if you've seen that word salad play out, which we all have, it's like living in an episode of Veep or a really bad SNL skit. It's not funny. It's not great. But these are the circumstances we find ourselves in, which is why we've got to get 24 right.
Wow, you're not kidding. What, I mean, what's going on there? I mean, she is not an elderly person. She's, I believe, still in her 50s. And she, I just don't get it.
Oh, that's what I call failing up.
Wow.
That is what happens when you have someone who is so awful and so bad that people just cannot wait to get rid of that person. So in the case where you can't fire them, you literally promote them. That is the very definition, walking, talking, breathing definition of failing up. She was just in my home state in Jacksonville, and she was saying, are there any math teachers in here? I love Venn diagrams. Let me tell you about Venn diagrams. Last week, she was talking about how complicated AI is, and in her words, it's complicated because it's two letters.
Two letters. Yeah, that's it. That two letters. By the way, in defense of your home state, I mean, this whole slavery nonsense, what got me here is that they have not had, you know, these mainstream media outlets have not had the courage to actually talk to the individuals who wrote the curriculum who happen to be Black Americans. This is just mind-boggling to me that they're going after the state of Florida, cherry-picking something completely out of context. It's just really absurd, and shame on the vice president for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise. We've seen the song and dance from the mainstream media before. They don't want to cover it accurately because it doesn't fit the political agenda. It doesn't fit the narrative. And the narrative for the mainstream media has been Republicans are fringe, that Republicans are crazy, that we're something-ist, right? We're racist or sexist. You know, it's the name-calling that they resort to because they don't want to have to face the facts that the left has absolutely been leading the charge when it comes to the racist and classist and sexist policies. History has proven that. And, you know, their attempts to rewrite history and selectively teach elements of it, it's disgusting. And I think back to Rules for Radicals, you know, if you want to control the future, you control the kids. That was so well defined in the early movement of the left that now we're seeing and we're really, really living out what happens when we let our education system be taken over by a bunch of socialist radicals.
Kat, real quick, last week, this crazy committee hearing, and you've been a strong proponent regarding these horrible gender mutilation surgeries, and you've been going after these folks. But during the hearing, all the Democrats just got up and walked out. What happened?
Well, I jokingly said that I broke the committee, but, you know, we were voting on a bill, you know, working through in the committee, a bill addressing graduate medical education, because Republicans are working to try to address the physician shortage in this country, which we're about 124,000 physicians short. And one of the things that the Democrats bellyached about was that there was no funding allowed for adolescent transgender surgery. And I had been relatively quiet in that hearing, and I decided that, you know what, if I'm going to be accused of not understanding this this issue. And as the Democrats were saying, you know, you don't understand how this process works. And so don't talk about something you don't know. I decided to pull up a video from one of their own, the expert surgeon on the West Coast who leads the movement right now on doing transgender surgeries with adolescents. And in this interview, it was a 2-minute, 17-second video. He details how it is highly, in his words, experimental, and that they are, quote, trying to figure out what works, and that, quote, nothing that is done in the OR will be 100% maintained, and they don't know the long-term consequences, and they struggle with the ethics of how to have a conversation about sexual experiences with 10 and 11-year-olds and blames America for being transphobic for them not having had sexual experiences at that age. I mean, it was really horrific stuff, talking about how they have to use robots to take the lining of the stomach to make vaginal canals. And it's stuff that keeps you up at night. And the way that this doctor detailed the surgeries really proved that not even the medical community knows what the long-term implications are, nor do they know how to do these surgeries in a way that is safe, let alone you have the ethical and moral conversation about it. And so the Democrats in protest, they said it was a clown show. They said that they would walk out and they wouldn't watch the video. And I fired back. I said, you know, this is ridiculous. You guys accuse us of not knowing how these things work. Here is an expert who details how these things work, and you can't sit here and listen for 2 minutes. Shame on you. You don't want to know how it works. The facts fly in the face of their narrative that this is compassionate, when we all know that this gender dysphoria, social contagion that is playing out, it's hurting our kids, it's hurting families, and we're seeing a lot of these kids who are now detransitioning or trying to get back to a normal life, and they can't because they have been maimed and mutilated and in some ways turned into a Frankenstein experiment. And so it was really painful. And at the end of the day, I think it was well worth playing that video, but I definitely know that my Democratic colleagues can't handle the truth and they don't want to know the truth.
No, they do not. You're right. You're right about that. Well, Kat, we appreciate you spending some time with us today. Appreciate the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great week. Always good to hear your voice.
All right. Kat Kamick, everybody, from down in the great state of Florida. All right. We've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Got to tell you about a great new book by our good friend David Horowitz. He's been on the show a number of times. The book is called The Final Battle, and President Trump says the 2024 election is going to be the final battle in America. And this book is the best expose on the far left's attempts to end democracy. Now, David Horowitz warns of deep state efforts to stop Trump. He names names, George Soros, one of those names. And that's why Trump says you got to get the final battle, because the next election may very well be the last. Mike Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to read this book. Now, The Final Battle is available in bookstores everywhere, already an Amazon bestseller, but you can get it free of charge. Here's how you do that. Go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com. You're going to save $30. And get The Final Battle today.
Si tu día suena algo como...
Necesitamos el reporte ya mismo.
Tú te mereces una modelo. Si no bajas los brazos al escuchar...
¡Dos más! ¡Dos más!
Tú te mereces el sabor refrescante de esta lager dorada. Y si no te rindes al oír... Tú te mereces esta cerveza elaborada para aquellos con un espíritu luchador. Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Todo con medida, importado por Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, do you remember the golden rule? I know Grace Baker knows the golden rule. You were raised right. What does it do unto others before they do it to you?
Not quite, Todd.
Well, that's the Democrat golden rule.
Be treated?
That's the Democrat golden rule.
I was homeschooled, so I was taught the golden rule.
Oh, so do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yes. All right. All right. So in other words,
be
nice to people. Well, a new survey finds only 14% of parents in America teach their kids the golden rule.
No wonder kids are so jerky nowadays.
This explains why the country's in a mess.
Basically.
Oh, my goodness. The whole country needs a good, swift kick in the butt.
Yeah, would be
ideal. That's what needs
to happen. Maybe a few.
Mm-hmm. According to the survey, over a quarter of parents don't even know what the golden rule is.
What?
So that's my generation, Generation X. We forgot to teach. Oh, Gen Xer, that explains Twitter now. Twitter is now X.
Oh, that's true. Now X?
X. Uh-huh. What do you say when you're going to X somebody? You can't say, I'm going to tweet at you. I'm going to X you.
That sounds violent.
It does sound violent. I don't know. It's weird. X you. I kind of miss the birds.
I know. It was a cute little bird. May it rest in peace.
You know, may I just say, I think the whole Twitter platform is going to you-know-where and a you-know-what.
I feel like it's having an identity crisis.
You know why, Grace Baker? Because they don't know the golden rule.
That's true.
I'm just telling you. The golden rule, treating others as you would want to be treated, is the oldest and most universally agreed upon moral principle in human history. But according to the 2023 National Parent Survey on Raising Good Kids, very few American children today are learning about the golden rule. Less than 1 in 5 parents say they use the golden rule with their children at all. Over a quarter of parents, 28%, say that they'd never even heard of it.
Man, a bunch of heathens. Yeah. How do they not know what it is, at least? Did they not watch VeggieTales growing up or anything?
I don't know. VeggieTales has gone woke now, by the way.
I know.
Did you know that?
I'm talking about the old VeggieTales.
Yeah, before they went organic.
Yeah.
So these are like Whole Foods VeggieTales. That's what that is.
Tofu.
Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, yeah, that works too.
A tofu VeggieTales. By the way, the tomato. Can we talk about, Bob
not
the tomato?
Again, I
still believe that Bob the tomato, unless he self-identifies as a vegetable, is a fruit, because a tomato is a fruit
You're
and does not belong with VeggieTales.
Also, just to point out, they did teach about the golden rule in Sherlock Holmes and the Golden Ruler.
Sherlock. Very clever.
So, yeah, I knew. I was like, I know VeggieTales thought about that because I remember it.
You know, some of those characters live in Germantown in my neighborhood. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, the Grapes of Wrath. Oh. They never take a bath. We don't have any water.
They're wilting.
I'm just curious here. Do you still teach your child the golden rule? 844-747-8868. Is that one of the reasons why children today are hellions? They're like little Beelzebubs. 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls on that. And maybe your favorite VeggieTales tune? I don't know. Remember that song, Where Is My Hairbrush? Everybody Needs a Water Buffalo. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns radio program, and we are proud to be broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program from American Family Association, Ed Vitagliano joins us. Ed, it's been a while. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to catch my breath after that Brandon Falls ad. That is a work of brilliance. Very funny.
Well,
excellent stuff.
Well, thank you. We have a fun team around here, and they're all practicing thespians, Ed, and we're okay with that. We don't judge here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
I see. That's a good take to have.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, Ed, before we get to our topic, and you've got a great piece on this leftist hostility to Christianity, we were just talking about this new survey, and it shows that an overwhelming majority of parents do not teach their kids the golden rule anymore. It's and about a quarter of those parents have never even heard of the golden rule themselves. How significant is that for what's happening in our culture right now?
Well, it's really significant, Todd. The fact of the matter is, Christianity for so long has been foundational to not just the United States, certainly the West, but especially the United States. It was just in the fabric of our lives. And so things like the Golden Rule, probably most people understood what that meant. I don't know whether they always knew that it was from the words of Jesus, but it was kind of just so woven into the fabric of our lives that it guided us. I think about the Supreme Court ruling striking down the posting of the Ten Commandments in public schools. Their reasoning was that if the Ten Commandments are posted, then students would take note of it and might actually follow it. So the fact that we have moved so far away from God and his principles, I think, is at the core of why our society is unraveling. And it is the one hope for our country coming back together and pulling back together and, attaining to its true vision. We have got to get back to the principles of God. And this survey points out just how far we've fallen.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, here in Memphis, Tennessee, I wish we had another commandment, thou shalt not carjack. I mean, I guess that's coveting your neighbor's,
and possibly hurting people at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly. Ed, it is so true, and I know we joke about it and laugh about it, but this is it's a horrible thing that's happened to the country, and a lot of people, even conservatives, get pulled into this, well, it's all about politics. I just sincerely disagree with that. I think we are dealing with a spiritual crisis in this country right now.
Absolutely. It is absolutely a spiritual crisis. And you're talking about carjacking, and I saw a video, I think, within the last week, and it was a man at a gas station, and he noticed someone walking up to him, then a car pulled up, and a bunch of guys jumped out. Now, this individual was packing. And he had a concealed carry, and he shot one of the young men. And you know what? My heart broke for that young man, because I thought, this is not something to celebrate. Certainly a person has a right to defend himself. He was about to get carjacked and, who knows, maybe shot dead. But none of this is good. It's not good for these young men to be dying while they're trying to take what doesn't belong to them and harm others. But in a sense, I'm, and we're all for personal responsibility. But a lot of these people who are committing crimes have grown up in godless schools. They've been told we're all just animals, and they have bought the lie that there is no judgment to come. There is no golden rule. There are no Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit murder. And they have been sucked into this darkness and are acting in a way that reflects that. And you are exactly right. This is at its heart, a spiritual crisis, and that spiritual crisis is manifesting itself in the unraveling of our nation.
All right, we had Ed Vitagliano on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Ed, I know American Family Association was getting information out about a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Gray, and he has filed a lawsuit this week, and we understand he was arrested because of a sign he was holding in a public space. Can you give us some details here on what happened?
Yeah, and this happened in Georgia. So this happened in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so to speak. Jeffrey Gray is an individual. He's a vet, and he was arrested for standing in a public space holding a sign that he wrote in his own handwriting, that simply said, God bless the homeless vets. And he was arrested in 2021. In 2021, the sergeant who arrested him has since been promoted to lieutenant, and he was accused of being on private property, but he was standing in an open public space in front of the Port Wentworth City Hall holding up this sign. And it seems to me that this is part and parcel of the hostility towards Christianity, and messages as simple as God bless the homeless vets And it is because, as you said, we have scrubbed away things like the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule from public, and this has promoted a hostility towards the Christian faith. I would expect that Jeffrey Gray will win this lawsuit, as he should, but you know what? It is a very thin line separating this country from religious liberty and tyranny. And that line seems to be getting thinner all the time.
And that's one of the reasons why we're big supporters of American Family Association, because it starts really with the family. And I think that's where, you know, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas are really going to have to step up and educate their kids about American history, about the fundamentals of the faith. I don't think they can rely on the church or the public schools to do that for them.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point, Todd, and the fact of the matter is parents have always been the first called disciples in the kingdom. They're the ones who are to do the job of discipling their children, and the church, of course, has a huge role to play in the kingdom of God, but in a sense, when it comes to these precious little ones, they are an adjunct discipler. They are to stand with parents and to help parents do that job. And parents have got to understand that responsibility. They are that first line of reaching young people with the gospel and then with the total truth of God's word. And if we can somehow get back to schools that at least allow for prayer and see you at the poll and having Bible studies after school, those kind of things, that can be a huge help. But parents have to be that first line when it comes to discipling children.
And Ed, you guys at American Family Association, you have so many resources available for the families. Tell our listeners, first of all, where can they go to get more information? And maybe you can highlight one or two of the big things you guys are doing over at AFA.
Well, thank you for that. They simply go to afa.net, and there are all sorts of things that people can look at there and get involved in. One of the things I'd recommend is to sign up for our action alerts, and twice a week, usually at the most, we will just send them something that they can do. They can contact senators or members of Congress or a governor. And we provide all that information for them, makes it very easy to do. One of the things we're kind of finishing up here this summer is our Men of Honor program, and it's a small group where we bring in young men, most of them boys up through teens, that have no dad in the home, and we teach them things like how to change a flat tire, how to interact with the police, how to treat ladies. All those kinds of things that sometimes they're lacking. And we also have at AFA.net a curriculum and some ideas for other churches to do the same thing, because we know it is critically important that the church be involved in helping to repair some of the damage that's been done in our culture.
Well, these are all brilliant ideas. And folks, seriously, check out AFA.net, bookmark the website, and go and visit, and often, because they're updating with all sorts of great news and information. Ed, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, sir.
Well, listen, we're big fans of the Todd Starnes Show, too. So keep doing what you're doing. You are reaching an incredibly important southern city and beyond its borders. And we love us some Todd Starnes here at the American Family Association.
All right. Well, you're kind to say that. Tell everybody I said hello. And great folks there, Tim Wildman, the whole family, doing great, great work. And we appreciate them very much. Again, AFA.net, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like information. All right. We've got to take a quick break here and pay some bills. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Can I tell you about our good friend over at MyPillow, Mike Lindell? They're celebrating their 20th anniversary. Over 80 million MyPillows sold, and now they're going to have some great discounts just for you, ladies and gentlemen. Get this, queen-size MyPillow, normally $69.98. You're going to get one for $19.98, and you'll be able to sleep just like Todd Starnes. I sleep like a baby thanks to MyPillow, and I do have a couple of queen-size MyPillows. But for $10 more, you can get yourself a king size. I'm cheap. I go with the queen size. Folks, you're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products by going to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. You want my slippers? I've got them. Love them. You're going to be able to get the pet bed. I know Sweet Little Merlot has the MyPillow pet bed. It's just a lot of great products. Again, MyPillow.com/Starnes. And be sure to use my last name as the promo code, Starnes, and they're going to give you that queen size MyPillow for just $19.98. It comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. We'll be right back. All right, things not looking very good for Ron DeSantis. He's struggling, folks, and there's a pretty good chance DeSantis is not gonna make it here. So the reporting, and it's all over the place today, is that Ron DeSantis having to lay off about a third of his campaign staff. He had more than 90 people on the payroll, and now they're making major cutbacks. The DeSantis campaign has, this is from New York Times now reporting, the DeSantis campaign now making two rounds of cutbacks in just the past week, and they've eliminated about 38 jobs, a figure that is nearly the size of former President Trump's entire campaign staff. Now, isn't that interesting? Over 90 people, DeSantis says. Trump has about 38, 40 people working on his campaign. What does that tell you? DeSantis is having some big, big trouble. He's burned through 40% of the $20 million that he raised from April through June. And here's the problem. He cannot go back to these donors because they've maxed out now. And the argument is that DeSantis has been living high on the hog, as we say in Tennessee, using private planes, hosting donor events at luxury venues, paying a lot of these people on Twitter and YouTube, a lot of the influencers on social media, recently held a Utah donor retreat in Utah. Mr. DeSantis entered July with only $9 million to spend on the primary race. And most of that, again, came from donors who gave the maximum amount possible, meaning they cannot contribute again. So this is a big problem here. Many big donors are now spooked because DeSantis is not only hemorrhaging money, but he's also sliding in the polls. And those donors are looking, they're going to be looking at people like Tim Scott now. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney is working behind the scenes, and Romney is trying to get a lot of the candidates to get out of the race so they can consolidate around one person. Problem is, Romney is a DeSantis guy, and DeSantis is not going to be your guy, folks. And we've got to get this figured out, because everybody thought DeSantis was going to be the guy in either 2024 if Trump had not run, or 2028 when Trump could not run. And I'm not too sure he's going to be able to survive this. What a mess. In a statement, Mr. DeSantis' campaign manager said the changes followed a top-to-bottom review of our organization, and we've taken additional aggressive steps to streamline operations and put Ron DeSantis in the strongest position to win the primary and defeat Joe Biden. Well, that's all well and good, but you've got a guy named Donald Trump who has a fraction of the staff you've got, and he is still kicking their butts in the polls. So, by the way, Ron DeSantis in Tennessee today, supposed to be doing three campaign events, but of course he was in that car accident. Motorcade had a big pileup, looked like on I-75. That's never good. During rush hour, a lot of unhappy people in Chattanooga right now. I can tell you that much. So, anyway, there you go, folks. Not looking good for Ron DeSantis. A lot of people now beginning to look at Tim Scott. And if you've noticed, Trump and Scott are playing nice with each other. So is it possible that Tim Scott could be a VP? And may I just, I don't want to go down this path. I don't want to alienate any of these people, but the Mike Pences and the Chris Christies and the Nikki Haley's of the world and the Vivek Ramaswamy's. And, who's the guy in Arkansas? Asa Hutchinson. Yeah, that guy. Everybody forgets about him. I don't want to hurt their feelings, but what are you people doing? No, seriously, what are you people doing? You're spending all of this money. You're using all of this treasure, and yet you're not going to make it. And you know you're not going to make it. You know you're not going to be the nominee. You know it's not going to happen. Are you delusional? What is your point here? It just seems to me that these folks ought to just take a step back and let Trump do his thing. He's the guy. It's not going to be Nikki Haley. It's just not. And I have nothing against Nikki Haley. I'm sure she's a very wonderful person. Don't have anything against Mike Pence other than he will not be a man of his word when it comes to religious liberty, but otherwise a nice guy. But he's not. Do you think that Mike Pence really thinks that he can be president of the United States? I mean, come on, folks. There's a sense of delusion here. So anyway, I mean, they can waste their money if they want to, but that's all it is. It's squandering resources that could be used to promote Donald Trump and to bolster that campaign. That's all. And if you're a Ron DeSantis person right now, you need to be asking some very tough questions about what the heck is going on with your campaign. Because a lot of the Trumps or the DeSantis supporters I'm seeing on Twitter and social media, these people are downright delusional right now. And they really do think that DeSantis has the upper hand. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Tomorrow we're going to pick up this conversation. We are on indictment watch, and we'll let you know when that happens. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com and check out our podcast. Sign up for our newsletter, free of charge. Be good, America.